I know I've already talked about this a couple times, but I just want to give God glory again. If you guys were like me and you're watching the weather last week and you're praying for good weather on Saturday, if you're like me, you had to quit watching. I had to just quit looking at that mess because it was still about Thursday and they were basically forecasting we're going to have a typhoon all weekend. And so I had to quit looking, and it was amazing because Friday night we had huge thunderstorms. Thunder, lightning, all kinds of rain. We got about a half an inch of rain at our house up until about 8 o'clock Saturday morning. Oh, when did our garage sale start? Oh, yeah, 8 o'clock Saturday morning. And it was dry. It was even sunny a few times. I was out there walking around, and it was sunny, and it was amazing. And then so we got back here one of the times, and it was about 2 o'clock. 10 after 2, I looked outside. It was raining. And most of our printed material said the sale got over at 2. Thanks to some of my oversight, some of them said 4, but at 2 o'clock it was raining, and so we went out, we looked around, everybody was wrapping it up and everything, but I just thank God, I just want to give God glory for changing a weather pattern for us so that we could have something like a garage sale. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So I was encouraging everybody to buy stuff from people so that you'd have like a little a remembrance, something to pray for them. And so I just want to show you guys how committed I am to buying stuff that there's absolutely positively no way on earth I would have bought this stuff any other time. So I think you guys all know that I've been a fan of U of M. My daughter, grandkids are all U of M. So... Yes, that does say Ohio State. Now, if you know anything about college football, you know that Wolverines pretty much hate, that might be a little strong from the pulpit, eagerly dislike the Ohio State Buckeyes. And so for me, I'm going to be praying for the family that I bought this from. What was funny, it only cost me 50 cents, so don't, before you start feeling all traumatized for me, it only cost 50 cents, and when I picked it up at the sale, and I looked around, there was a young lady standing like literally like right here. She was probably about 19 or so, 20, and she had a Michigan State jersey on. And so I picked this up and said, you know what? You ought to buy this. And she goes, ah! So I thought, well, that was worth the 50 cents right there, so I quick bought the thing. But, you know, for me, there's another thing, because this is going to remind me, obviously, of the state of Ohio. Well, you know what? Right now, there's a person in the state of Ohio, inside the state of Ohio, that means a lot to me, and I'm going to be praying for her. And so even though I might not like this, I like that person that's in the state of Ohio. So this is going to remind me to pray for that family right over there, but it's also going to remind me to pray for somebody else that's in Ohio right now. So I would have never bought that outside of this. Item number 2. Uh-huh. All the guys are like, ooh, ah, ooh. These are our waiters. They only cost $10. And so as I'm paying for them, she said, well, just make an offer. I said, well, $10, they got to be worth $10. I'm not going to cheat you, offer you anything less. She goes, well, actually, I think that there's a leak in them. I said, okay, then I'm going to make an offer then. So I paid $5 for waiters that leak. Can I tell you that I'm smart enough to not buy leaky waiters normally? But I'll be praying for this family, for this woman. I talked to her a couple of times. Her dad's moving down to Florida. She's having a real tough time of it. So there you go. I am committed to doing what I encourage you guys to do. Oh, I can re-gift them. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. Okay, so are you guys at Nehemiah chapter 11? It is almost 11:30, so I'm going to do some editing on the fly, so we're not here until 1:30. Everybody okay with that? Yes. if the Holy Spirit moves again, all bets are off. I take my orders from Him. So, let's see. Oh, let me just start out by saying the book of Nehemiah was never about the wall. I know you guys are probably sick of me saying that, but it was never about the wall. The garage sale was never about getting awesome treasures. It was about meeting people and starting this process of getting them to trust us, to be open to us, so we can present the gospel. That's the goal, to present the gospel. I want to love them and present an accurate gospel every single person in this neighborhood. What they do after that's between them and God. But we've done our faithful part in that. That's my goal. And so up until now in Nehemiah, it was all about trying to build this wall so that then they would have security so they could build Jerusalem. That was what they're about. The last few chapters have been about they finished the wall, they did celebration, they started doing church. They had a whole week of church services and celebration and a party. And now it's like the last few chapters are getting things in order, organized, so that everything's in place so that they can get on with building a city. This is going to be years and years. This could be decades. This could be generations of building Jerusalem. These people that we look at in this story today, as they dedicate the wall, almost like, okay, this building's here. It's all set. We've got a hardcore people of committed believers here in it. Together we're the wall. Now it's time to build Jerusalem out here. We're not going to get Jerusalem built this summer, folks. We're going to see some lives changed. We're going to see some families changed. But I don't think we're going to completely change New Hall neighborhood this summer. Now, God could do it. Revival, awakening, whoo, awesome, praise God. But maybe it's going to take longer than that. Maybe it's going to take several years. Maybe it's not even going to wrap up. Maybe I'll be gone, and the next generation is going to see that come to pass, where all in Newhall and Wyoming are called a Christian community by unbelievers, not just church folk. They will say, oh, you don't want to move there, because they're all Christians. The Christian businesses, Christian cops, the Christian people in the mayor and the city council, all Christians. Fire department's Christian. All teachers are Christian. Wouldn't that be awesome? That's the goal. Jerusalem. We want to have a new Jerusalem here, just like we see with these guys building up Jerusalem. And so we have all these chapters, chapter 11 and 12. I'm not going to read through all of them, but 11 and 12 are literally going through. These are the people that are still here. It names them out, and it names what tribe they belong to. Because there's no way you can live in Jerusalem if you're not a bona fide Israelite. If you were of any other nationality, you could not move into Jerusalem at this time. So you had to know who you were, where you belonged. I belong in Jerusalem. Well, why do you belong in Jerusalem? Well, because you got to know who your daddy is. Because if you can't prove who your dad is, you can't prove your last name, you can't move in Jerusalem. And all, chapter 11 and chapter 12 is all about talking about who they were, what tribe they belonged to, what lineage they belonged to, and who was part of their family. And it's two very long chapters. So if you're wondering about this, you're curious about it, could you read those chapters later today and just go back through and just kind of see what I'm talking about? So then that goes through from chapter 7 all the way up to where we are right now. There's three different lists proving who's who, what family, what tribe they qualify to have the inheritance. The Jews are all about inheritance. Even today, Jews are all about inheritance. They're all about legacy. They're all about trying to build something into eternity. They don't have any quick fixes. Jews think in generations. Do you know that most Jews, most Jewish people, when they die and they leave their inheritance, they don't leave it to their kids? They actually leave it to their grandkids. Because most of the time when you die in your 70s, your 80s, your 90s, your kids already have their houses paid for. You know, the kids are in their 50s and 60s. They don't need an injection of wealth. Grandkids, on the other hand, are in their 20s and 30s, where they're starting to buy houses. They're trying to pay off debt. In this climate now, in the culture we're in, they're going to be trying to pay off college debt, maybe trying to save up enough to buy a house. Well, mom and dad are already set. If grandparents leave it to mom and dad, they're going to put it in the bank, get some interest, but it's not going to be life-changing. If you give that to your grandkids in their 20s and 30s, that's life-changing. You get rid of all your student debts. You get rid of your house payment. It's huge. So that's how the Jewish people think about inheritance. All these people were going to move into Jerusalem and live in Jerusalem because they believed the promises that God gave to Moses. Actually goes past that all the way back to Abraham, where if you believe me, your kids are going to be greater than the number of stars, and I'm going to give you the promised land. Moses took the ex-slaves out into the promised land. Joshua gave out the pieces of the promised land to the different tribes. These people here were believing that God had given them Jerusalem, even though it was still enemy territory at the time, folks, surrounded by enemy territory, ruled by an enemy. They still said, no, I know that I could trust God on this. He gave me this land. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what everybody else is saying. This is my ground. God gave it to me. And I'm taking it, and I'm going to build something here. Amen? Aren't we bumping into that right now? You go out and try to talk to some of these neighbors, and you say, oh, no, God's going to transform this neighborhood in the next 5 years. See what they say. Most of them are going to roll their eyes or say something even worse than that. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they're thinking. I don't care what it feels like. I can trust my God. He didn't bring us here for no reason. We're here on purpose to watch him change this area, and I'm excited to see it. So since chapter 7 all the way to here, we've got three different lists of who qualifies, who and why, and all that stuff. So if you remember last week, I was talking about Nehemiah 11. I was talking about Nehemiah 10, but I kind of leaked over into 11 to just kind of talk about in verse 2 where it says, and the people blessed all the men who willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Most people kind of had to have it assigned to them or like ordered to go live there. But there was some people that said, you know what? This is going to be tough work. This can be hard work for a while. I'm in because I think God's going to do something. And I want to have a good seat, watch him do it. Amen? You guys are them. This people that I just described, you're them. You're signed on to be part of this church for like yesterday where we all work pretty hard. Oh, and a time of year when most of us have tons of stuff to do back at our own houses, right? There's yard work, landscape and stuff that got to get done and cleaned and organized and all this other stuff. It's springtime in Michigan. You're busy. We all put that on hold to come in here and start building on God's kingdom. Come on. That's exciting. Oh, and our neighbor saw it. At a time when we went all the way around, we did all the advertising, all the administration, all the stuff on Facebook, all the stuff on our website, yada, 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 maps here, water, all that, yep, gave a Saturday up. And guess how much we got for it? Wait, what? Oh, that's right, I got awesome waiters. That's right. And a cooler cup. But it was funny. I mean, I really enjoy explaining it to people, going, no, we're not selling anything at church. This is all about you guys. We just want to be a blessing to you guys, and we want to get to know you. Wow, that's really cool. It's like, yeah, I didn't say this to him. Yeah, because we're looking for something bigger, something better, something more amazing. So I call us the people that are willing to willingly offer ourselves to God for his service. That's all of us here. And so as you start going through, are you in chapter 11 right now? Let's skip down to verse 3. It says, these are the heads of the province who dwelt in Jerusalem. Then it goes down to verse 4. Also in Jerusalem dwelt some of the children of Judah and the children of Benjamin. So I'm just highlighting some of these to show you what I've already said. I repeated it a couple times. All these people knew who they were and what they came from and why they were there. Verse 7. These are the sons of Benjamin. And then it names each one of them all the way out. It talks about who was with them, how many there were. Verse 10, of the priests, names them out, who these guys are, who they were, how big their families were. Verse 10, we go down to verse 15. Also the Levites, starts naming them all out. So you've got families, you've got individuals, and they're all called out. If you go to verse 12, it says, go all the way to chapter 12, verse 1. Again, I'm really skipping around today, so I want to encourage you to go back and read both of these chapters and see what I'm saying and get it in the perspective. And so you look at verse 1 in chapter 12. It says, now these are the priests and the Levites who came up with Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, and then names all these other guys. Well, Zerubbabel is another name for Nehemiah. And so, it's just walking through all the people, who came up, all that did it, who they belonged to, all their last name. And why am I trying to make a big point of this? Because last week I mentioned something out of Ephesians chapter 2. And could you skip over to Ephesians chapter 2 with me right now? The Old Testament is here for our instruction, for our encouragement, so that we can learn through some of the stuff that they did, so we don't have to go through all that stuff. If you're in Ephesians 2, just skip down to verse 12. This is such an accurate description of who I was before I met Jesus. Maybe it'll really resonate with you. But this is what Paul says. Verse 12. This is for we are saved. It says, that at that time, you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. In other words, you wouldn't have recognized a single promise of God because you're outside of Christ, you're outside of God. You are outside of anything to do with the whole community of faith. Wow. Man. Comma. Having no hope and without God in the world. Yep, that description is me before Jesus. Absolutely, for sure. I was without hope, without God in the world. Verse 13. But now, Christ Jesus, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Wow. Come on. Come on. Verses 12 and 13. What a clear picture of who we all used to be and how some of these people around here are now. They're living without hope, living without God, don't have any of the promises of God, have nothing to do with the community of faith. That's where they're at. The next verse, one more verse. But now you're drawn near, brought close through Christ, through his blood that changes our everything. Two verses. We can go from here to here. Two verses. Man, hallelujah. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, those who used to be far away, because sometimes people go, oh man, that guy's still drinking and drugging and cusses like a sailor. And man, he's just a total reprobate. He is so far from God. No, he's one verse away from God. He's one verse away. You who used to be far away have been brought near. One verse. Nobody's far from God when God gets on the case. Amen? I didn't plan on getting saved. I don't know about you guys. I took my wife to a stupid church thing to manipulate her so she'd go on a booze cruise with me. 2 days later, I was saved. Far, near, two verses. Love it. It's awesome. It's awesome. Let's skip down to verse 19. Oh, by the way, this is another awesome chapter. If you want to read a whole chapter, whew, this is a dynamite chapter. Verse 19. So he wants to explain who we are, what we belong to, now that used to be far, now you're close. What's that mean? Well, now, therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. If that don't cover everything, I don't know what we need. We used to be far, now we're close. We used to be strangers and foreigners, but now we're fellow citizens and saints and members of the household. It's like, okay, you're citizens of heaven, you're saints in the global church, but you're members of the family, folks. What? It's like you're part of this eternally, you're part of this globally, but you're also part of this in a family relationship. Used to be far, now you're close. What are you close to? Well, you're close to the family of God. And your citizenship is permanent. It's in heaven. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whew. Man. Yeah, I can put up stuff like this. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, believers were added to the number throughout the centuries until the wall was finished in the city of Jerusalem. Sometimes we read these stories and we don't I read these stories and I don't think about all the way to the end. What'd that look like all the way to the end? Well, the Jerusalem right now still has people, descendants from these people that are believing in the promises of God. Some of the people in Jerusalem are direct descendants from these people we're reading about, and they came to Christ in salvation. So they're Messianic Jews is what they're called. They're still Jews by the blood. They can trace all their lineage right on back. They can show you on paper their lineage all the way to these people we're reading about in this Bible. Isn't that amazing? And then they can also add, oh, but I came to believe in Jesus 6 years ago or 4 months ago. Or my mom and dad got saved before I was even born. And now that's our lineage on paper with the Jews. But this is my lineage in the membership of the household of God. I used to be far away, but now I'm close. Man. So back to Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 31. You know, if we just skim through the Bible, we can miss some most amazing things. Amazing things. They built this wall, most of the wall, except for the gates. They built almost the entire wall in 52 days. 52 days they got the wall done. Jerusalem's going to take generations, but the wall was done in 52 days. The easy stuff is done, except for it wasn't so easy. Do you know how big this wall was? This wall is literally about 10 to 12 feet high. And it was so big, watch this. Are you at verse 31, chapter 12? So this is what Nehemiah says. So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. One went to the right hand of the wall and the other towards the other direction. If you skip down, verse 36, the last half of 36. And Ezra the scribe went before them. So Ezra was the scribe. Ezra went one way on the wall. Nehemiah went the other way on the wall. They go up the steps, they circle around, and they're on two sides of the city wall. Now, this wall had to be pretty big. If you read through this chapter, it lists all the different people that went up there. All the leaders are up there. All the priests are up there. The Levites are up there. And the rest of the people, it says. How thick was this wall? It must have been ginormous. It says it got the choir up there. It's so big, they split them up. So this half goes over here, and this half goes over here, and they dedicate this wall. Now, nowadays, at least in my thinking, my logical, carnal, earthly thinking, when you dedicate a wall, you know, if that's the wall we're going to dedicate, we all come here, we get our nice little chairs out, we all dress up real nice, and somebody gets up there who's all famous and can speak all pretty, and gets up there and blathers on about what a wall does and what it doesn't do, and da-da-da-da-da. We're all like, oh, that's so cool, look at this wall that we built. Awesome, where are we doing lunch? These guys did the total opposite. It was never about the wall. Seriously. They take them up on the wall. They carve them in half. These guys come up over here. These guys come up over here. And it says that they stood looking out over Jerusalem. Or should I say, like, half of them's over here looking into Jerusalem. The other guys went all the way around. So we're over here on dinner tog. You guys are over there on 36th Street, and we're looking at each other, I don't know, a couple hundred on each side, and we start praising the Lord over the city of Jerusalem that ain't there yet. Come on, I'm getting excited just thinking about this stuff. What did we do yesterday? We left here, we split up, we went out in there, and we declared the faithfulness of God, the new Jerusalem that's coming here, and it wasn't there yet. God's faithfulness is here, and he's doing something big, and this is awesome, this is exciting. And some are looking at us like, huh? It's coming, folks. It's coming, folks. And this is a picture of what we're doing here. It was never about the wall. The wall is a place that I can stand on top of and declare the glory of God. I couldn't care less about this wall anymore, except for it helps me see what I got to do next. Whew, man, hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm excited. Look at, skip down to verse 38. The other Thanksgiving choir went the opposite way, and I was behind them with half the people on the wall. How many people are up here on this wall? How big is this wall that they built in 52 days? These cats were serious. Man. So then you go down to verse 40, please. So the two Thanksgiving choirs stood on the wall. Nope, that's not what it says. They've slipped into a different realm, a different sphere. Faith has taken them somewhere else and not stand on a wall all of a sudden. Verse 40. So the two Thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God. Huh? How'd that shift? Faith made it shift. So when we're in this big old building, we're the church, amen? And then we go down there and we're walking down Dinner Tog and we're going down Place and we're going down 34th Street and Blanchard and we're going over here on Manny and Royal Oak. And we're still the church. We're going out there and we're talking to them, and they don't even know they're in church. They think they're at their house. But all of a sudden, we used to be on the wall, all of a sudden we're in the house of God. We used to be in this building, but now we're in the house of God. Amen? I'm not making this up. It's right there in your Bible. They went up on the wall, and all of a sudden they're in the house of the Lord. We come in this building, we pray, we get excited, we go out, we talk to them, we take the church out with them. We are the church out there, and they are in the house of God, and we stand before them with the presence of the Lord. Whew, man, we're going to see some amazing things, folks, I'm telling you. I love how it says, skip down to the end of 42, and it says, the singers sang loudly with Jezariah the director. loudly. I wonder what that sounds like. When people are standing on a wall, there probably would have been very few buildings in Jerusalem at that time. So they're up on what was probably the tallest place at the time, and they're singing towards each other with all their might over the city. That had to have been awesome. It might have sounded a little bit like today when the men were singing, then the women were singing. Did you notice then when we all sang back together how much louder it was? Man, this is awesome. I love living the scriptures. Go down to verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifice and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. And the women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Do you suppose anybody's talking about a garage sale that a church hosted yesterday that didn't make a penny off it? Well, what were they? Were they asking for offering, love offering or something? Sometimes they have funny terminology when they're trying to get your money from you. No, they didn't take anything. Well, what'd you go, in the church, were they selling burgers there? How'd they make their money? No, they didn't make any money. They did it just so that we could be blessed. They wanted to get to know us. Well, what's the name of that church? Don't you think those conversations are happening today? Yeah. Might be happening in a bar. Praise God. Might be happening on a golf course. Awesome. Praise God. I don't care where it's happening. I want people to know we love them, we care about them, and we want to share Jesus Christ with them. Because Jesus changed my everything. I was hopeless without God. And then 2 days later, I was a God lover and my everything was changed. It's amazing. This is the God that we serve. It's so awesome. He's so amazing. So in Nehemiah's time, it was all about knowing your last name and what tribe you came from. Let me ask you this. What tribe do you guys come from? Who's your daddy? These guys would have named a Shimeiah or a Messiah or a Hananiah, a Zechariah, Eli Onai. Ooh, I probably mangled that one. They would have had this list of guys back generations. I don't have that. I have a generation. My generation, I came to meet Jesus Christ. How about you guys? Who's your daddy? Because God Almighty's not grandpa to anyone. He doesn't have any grandkids. It's all first generation. He is my father because of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for me. Not because of my parents, not because of my uncle, not because of the pastor who shared something with me. It's all one generation. So who's your daddy? And what tribe do you belong to? And the last, if you can answer that, I think most of you could easily say, well, God Almighty, Jesus' dad is my dad. That's the safest way. That cuts through all the static and the white noise out there, because nowadays there's so many gods and they're all the same God, as long as you live a good life and try to be nice and baloney. I'm saved because my dad is Jesus' dad. And if you want to know if their God can save them, then they need to come through Jesus. Jesus himself said, the only way to the Father is through me. So if they're not through Jesus, then I don't know what to tell you. And if there's any other way, then that means Jesus was a liar, because he was one who said he was the only way. If there's more than one way, then Jesus was a liar, and I'm not saved. But I know I am saved. So, it's simple as this. Who's your daddy? Is Father God your daddy? Because if he is, then that means you have an inheritance. The only reason they were in Jerusalem is because it was their inheritance. And it didn't look like much at first. But they knew eventually this is going to be the place. If you were a Jew, you wanted to be in Jerusalem. It's the place they're all going back to now. All these centuries later, from all over the world, every Jew wants to be part of Jerusalem. What's going on now? It's amazing. The promises are being fulfilled. So who's your daddy and what's your inheritance? Because our inheritance in Christ is literally limitless. Our inheritance is every single promise in the Bible. Every single one. Every single one. If you're not sure how that applies or what that would look like in your life, just read any part in the Old Testament where one of the saints, man or woman, was believing God for something according to his word, and it was fulfilled. That's your promise. Any promise in the Old Testament. Because Jesus fulfilled the law. That means the whole Old Testament. If that won't get it for you, then go into the New Testament. Anytime Jesus promised one of the disciples or one of his followers, he gave him a promise and it happened, that's your promise. Because through Jesus Christ, every single promise in the Bible is yes and amen to us. Every single one. That's your inheritance. The funny thing with inheritance is you got to spend it. Otherwise, just neat stuff piled up somewhere in a safe or in a bank or in a closet or stacked up underneath a mattress or something. It might be worth $3 million, but it's nothing if you don't spend it. If somebody gave me $3 million, I guarantee you I would not have a problem spending it. I'd tithe off that bad boy, and then I'd probably get a little different car than that $300. That, I know, isn't that? I'd probably go ask Andy what car I should get. He always has cool cars. But if somebody gave me $3 million, I don't tell nobody, I leave it under that mattress, wouldn't I be the biggest idiot on the planet? I'm not even going to tell you guys what I got. I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to tell nobody. Well, isn't that what we do as Christians when we don't tell people about our inheritance, about what God's done for us? I've never told someone, hey, God saved me and my life's been perfect ever since. It's awesome, man. It's like taking an easy pill. Nobody ever says that. But I do have hope now. I have joy now. I have peace now. I have some problems. Yeah, okay, whatever. I have hope. And there's a big difference having problems without hope and having problems with hope. Man. So I just want to encourage us today. Just remind yourself, who's your daddy? Is your dad your dad? My dad passed away several years ago, my other dad. But Heavenly Father, he's my dad. Oh my gosh, he is so good to me. Look at you guys. He's put me with you guys. I thank God for all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm so blessed. The promises I've seen him fulfill in our lives, in our kids' lives, in our grandkids' lives, and in your lives. I just want to stand here and encourage you guys. Let's give God glory this week for all that he's already done in our lives and the stuff, the difficult things we're walking through right now that he's going to do something in there. And while he's doing that, he's filling us with hope to believe for it. Because there's nothing like hope. There's nothing like a life without hope. And there's nothing like a life with hope. Let me pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today. Something special happened during worship, and I want to thank you and give you all the credit for it. You touched us, you stirred us, you encouraged us. And Lord, I know that there's a few people here, more than a few people here right now, going through difficult things. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would fulfill your word to them, that you would literally, spiritually, physically, measurably show them that they are citizens and that they're members of your household, that you love them almost beyond comprehension. Would you please do this, Father? And Lord, I lift up the people that are doing great. Everything seems to be going great. They're on easy street right now. Would you once again overwhelm them with your goodness? Because Lord, I think all of us are eager to see you glorify yourself in our lives and in this neighborhood. Lord, it's just the beginning of something brand new happening here. We want to give you all the credit and all the glory. And Lord, we lift up all the people in our neighborhood that we talked to over this last week, especially yesterday. Many of us met almost new friends now. We had connections with them. We learned names and history and jobs and kids' names and stuff. Lord, would you please help us to build on that? Don't let it just dissolve off into the air and it was something that happened last May. Help us to build on it now. Would you put those people that we spoke with, would you put them in our heart? So we'll continue to pray for them. We'll continue to keep an eye out for them when we're coming and going from church. And as we get ready for the movie nights and the fireworks and stuff, Lord, help us when we go back there to talk to them. Help us just to reconnect with them, that we can share our inheritance with them. We don't want to be people that have this great inheritance and we leave it under a mattress. Help us to spend it now, Lord. Everywhere we go, help us to spend our inheritance. I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So God bless all of you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday, I believe.